Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I'm a lexicon devil with a battered brain searching for a future. The world's my aim.
Greetings, dear listeners. Happy Tuesday to you. I hope your Tuesday's going well wherever you are and whatever part of your Tuesday that you're in. And if it's not Tuesday when you're listening to this, oh well, I hope you're well. My name is Patrick Foster. This podcast is Rockin' the Suburbs. And today we are going to have another one of these little bite-sized history lessons, as I like to call them. It's a little segment we're doing called What Came First. And it's basically a pretty simple concept. What's the first release? What's the first record put out by iconic record labels? And today, this is sort of a part two from Monday's episode, yesterday's episode. So go back and listen to that if you haven't. We explored IRS Records and the first release on that label, the Buzzcocks Singles Going Steady compilation. And that was suggested by David Leedy over on the Twitter. Thank you, David. And he actually had two suggestions. And his second one was what we're going to cover today, and that is Slash Records out of Los Angeles, California. And I've compiled some facts here from the source of all human knowledge, but also from a very good book that I want to recommend to you folks. It's called We Got the Neutron Bomb, The Untold Story of LA Punk by Mark Spitz and Brendan Mullen, an oral history featuring the Go-Go's, the Runaways, the Germs, X, Black Flag, and beyond. It really does a great job of telling the story of how LA punk evolved, and it's no longer untold because they told it. And get that book and you can find out all about it. But so let's get into Slash Records here, folks. And I'll tell you, the first thing we got to do is we have to learn about the history of the label by starting with a fanzine. That's right, Slash was originally a fanzine. Was a tabloid style with a very distinctive artistic style, and there were a group of writers really helped legitimize the punk scene in LA because of this magazine they had, and it had good distribution, and it was kickstarting things. And I actually have a quote here from Exene Cervenka from the band X, and she said Slash was so good that it legitimized the scene quite a bit. So it was a magazine that was covering bands and scenes and things like that. The artist Gary Panter did a lot of the cover work, made the visual style really come into play. It was a total of 28 issues. Writers: Claude Kickboy Face Bessie, also journalist Richard Meltzer, who obviously went on to have a very successful career. Jeffrey Lee Pierce was a writer. He was in the Gun Club and other bands. Chris D from the Flesh Eaters, Pleasant Gaiman, and all kinds of people. Alan McDonald is another one. The style was so influential, actually. This is a very interesting little nugget I came across, that American rapper Playboi Carti released his album Whole Lotta Red in 2020, just 2 years ago, and he did a direct take on the Slash magazine style and cover. So go look at the cover of Whole Lotta Red, and you'll see what I'm talking about. The other character we want to understand in this story, and he becomes the central figure, is a guy named Bob Biggs. I'm going to quote directly from Bob from the book, the Neutron Bomb book here. And he says, I had a studio loft on Pico near La Brea back in 1976. Two guys moved in next to me. One of them, Steve Samioff, started Slash Magazine with Claude Bessie and Philomeno and Stanley. I had money, so I eventually gave them about $1,000. And I began to invest incrementally, starting with like 10%. Then I bought them out. Claude did most of the writing, and he was a total contrarian iconoclast. He was fiercely anti-mainstream. That's basically what happened, is Bob Biggs gave the Slash people some money, and he eventually bought the fanzine out himself. And after that, he decided that a logical step would be to start a record label. And why not just call it Slash? You've already got the publicity. And let me go back to Bob here and quote from the book. He says, I knew a lot of the bands, but I didn't have any experience running a label. I didn't think I needed any experience. The magazine had a following already, and all the mom-and-pop variety record stores had already been carrying it. I knew of a band called The Germs, so I thought it would be a good thing to do them first. I said, hey, do you want to do a single? And they said, okay. the germs, folks. It's the germs. Legendary LA punk band led by Darby Crash, who was a real instigator in the scene and instigator in a lot of people's lives, apparently, as well. There's a lot of tales and anecdotes in this book. The Germs had actually put a record out already before they were approached by Bob Biggs. They put out a single on What Records in the year 1977, so a little less than a year before their Slash Records debut would come out. And at that time, Darby Crash was calling himself Bobby Pyn, P-Y-N. And on this record, the Slash debut record, the Germs single, the first one released on Slash, Lexicon Devil is the name of the EP. It had the catalog number Scam 101 on the Slash Records label, and it featured three songs: Lexicon Devil, the amazing title track, Circle One, and No God. And on this record is really where Darby Crash became Darby Crash. His personality, the one that became legendary on the LA punk scene, really came through. And I think you can hear on this title track, lyrically, especially, some of the things that he was talking about, that he used to talk about a lot in his conversations with people at his activities. And he even initiated a thing, I think, where if you're a fan of the Germs, you had to have a cigarette burn, like in the shape of a circle. They called them Germ Burns. And that was a true mark that you were a follower of the Germs. But let's take a second here and hear the title track, Lexicon Devil. Powerful and hypnotizing, hypnotic in a way, isn't it? It's really quite an interesting record. And in some ways, the Germs would go on to really perfect this style in their full-length album, G.I., which came out on Slash a little bit later. And but here, you can feel it. You can feel it. And their first single was called Forming, but really on Lexicon Devil, you can really feel the power and the magic of the Germs getting together. Yes, they still sound primitive and rudimentary, but there's a power there that they hadn't gotten before. And let's go back to Bob Biggs. He said, so we recorded No God, Circle One, and another song, Lexicon Devil, for $600. He says, Darby was standoffish and sarcastic. He was like a wise-ass teenager. The guitar player, Pat Smear, later go on to be Pat Ruth and Smear, was willing to engage you and talk about something straight without making fun of you. So I dealt with him more than Darby. Kind of a group effort. There was not really a producer on Lexicon Devil. And as far as I can tell, the information I have is that we don't even know exactly what studio it was in, if it was a studio. the information does say it was recorded on Hollywood Boulevard at an unidentified studio. Pat Smear didn't own an amplifier for his guitar. And Giza X, who was another person on the scene, was supposed to lend him one, but he forgot. And so Giza X was around, and instead he strung together some effect pedals and plugged the guitar directly into the studio's mixing board. So that's where that guitar sound comes from. Why don't we listen to a little bit of the second track?
Keep it alive.
there it is, Circle One. And that, another classic Germs image, that's Circle. And if you think about GI, their debut, just with the blue circle on the front, it's very visually influential as well. The rest of the players, Darby Crash, of course, on vocals, Pat Smear on guitar, Lorna Doom on bass, Nikki Beat was the drummer. And there was a few other people who contributed hand claps to the last tune on this record, No God. And we'll use that as the playout song today. But man, I don't know. What do you think about the Germs? I think they're such a cool, interesting band. And this early stuff, along with their debut album, is really incredible. If you don't have it, you should really go out and find it. It doesn't seem to be too available on the streaming. So I'm not too sure what the right situation is with Slash Records at this time. Bob Biggs passed away in 2020, but the label had been, after this debut, at one point they had a distribution deal with Warner Brothers Records. They were one of the first indie labels to set up a deal, and they released some very important records. I mean, Los Lobos, The Blasters, L7, Fear. I remember they signed the Del Fuegos, Rank and File was on the label. There's all kinds of interesting records on Slash. And there was even a subsidiary called Ruby that put out some records by the Dream Syndicate is one I have, the Gun Club and several others. Turned out to be a totally influential label, really foundationally key in the LA punk scene and the places the LA punk scene went after the original formation of it into some country stylings and think of the roots rock stuff that the Blasters did. Okay. Well, there you have it, folks. Was that bite-sized enough for you? Was it fun size or bite size? I think it was bite size. So I hope you enjoyed that. And tomorrow, Jim and I will be doing a couple of episodes for you. I hope you'll find those entertaining. We've got a book nook, but with a twist. Book nook with a twist. And we've also got some reactions to some episodes we've recently done that we're going to go through and read out your comments, questions, and feedback. And I do want to remind everybody, if you're out there listening, folks, now is the time to make your travel plans for Suburbs Fest. We've got two Suburbs Fests happening this year, one in Chicago at the beginning of August and another down in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area that will take place on September 29th through October 1st. So what I want you to do is go to suburbspod.com. There's a banner right in the middle that says Suburbs Fest 2022. Click on that. You'll get all the information, including what's going to happen each night, the itinerary, some information on discount hotel rooms, and all the things you need to make your plans to join us. I hope that I can see some of you people out there, some of the listeners, and continue to talk to you. Even if you don't want me to talk, I'll keep talking. I won't stop. I'll be right behind you talking. Is he still talking? Yes, I am, but I'm going to stop right now, folks, and I'm going to wish you a great rest of your day. Whatever part of it, again, you're in. And we'll want to make sure you tune in tomorrow. This has been an episode of Rockin' the Suburbs, another What Came First. And we're going to play out with the Germs doing No God from the Lexicon Devil EP, the first release on Slash Records. Talk to you guys tomorrow.